You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
A while ago, I told a story about this guy that bought a watch, and some of you may remember it. Could we put that picture up there first? And so, is it up there? So this watch, this guy saw this watch. This is it's called a Jaeger LeCoultre watch. And so he saw this watch in what they call it is a Goodwill. That's basically what we call a secondhand shop. In America, they call it a Goodwill shop. And so he paid five, see it says there, he paid $5.99. You can't see, but at the bottom, the watch was valued at £35,000. Some of you remember I spoke about this. And so this watch, what happened was, here is this guy in this secondhand shop, and he's looking through the junk and all the things that he sees, and he spots this this watch. Now, this wasn't an accident, meaning, yeah, it was... We could say lucky that he found it, that it was there, that he saw it. But what happened was, is this guy had been going on some watch websites and reading about different types of luxury watches, and he had recognized this brand. He had recognized Jaeger LeCoultre, and he was like, wow, this is Jaeger LeCoultre, deep sea, whatever it is. And he said, this must be worth some money. Now, he didn't know what it was worth, but he recognized it, and he said, you know what, let me buy that. He pays $5 something for it, and then he gets it valuated, and then obviously the rest is history, $35,000. I was thinking about this story again because this man saw something in the midst of all of this junk. Now, whether you like to go to Goodwill shops or not go there, that's nothing to do with that. But here we have what many times would be perceived as junk. But here is this guy that he recognizes something of value in the junk. He sees the best in the mess. That's basically what it is. He saw something good, even though everything else around it was worthless. He saw the best in the mess. And I want to preach a sermon how God sees the best in you, even in your mess. God sees the best in your mess. And we're going to look into this from Luke 7, verse 38. Read along with me. The Bible says, then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner. So this woman is a sinner. She's probably sexually immoral. She's probably a prostitute, something like that. But she's known as a sinner. Now, we're all sinners, but in the city, she's known as a sinner. So she's bad. Look at someone say she's bad. Okay, let's move on. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table of the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, stood at his feet behind him, weeping. She began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. She kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisees who had invited Jesus saw this, he spoke to himself. He's saying within himself, this man, talking about Jesus, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is, who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace, your mercy, your love, your kindness. Father, open our eyes to your divine truth. Father, I pray that your word would go forth unhindered. I pray for revelation upon your word today. I pray that our hearts would be open to receive. Father, let your spirit be here, magnifying Jesus Christ. Most of all, Lord God, we pray that we personally would see him magnified. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to preach a sermon, like I said, God sees your best even in your mess. I want to think about this principle. When I was looking into this, and it's just a thought that came into my head, and then I was listening to a song, and the song said the same thing, and I was like, that's the Holy Spirit. I got to obey the Holy Spirit. How many of you got to obey the Holy Spirit? And so think about how Jesus is. Jesus goes around, and Jesus sees a tax collector. Now, in Bible times, a tax collector would be almost like a guy that is a drug dealer in our days. Jesus sees a tax collector. This tax collector says, come to my house. I'm going to invite all my sinner friends, and Jesus goes to the house. How many know that that tells us something about Jesus? That Jesus would have been, that here is this sinner that invites Jesus to his house. And the sinner probably has people drinking there, smoking there. What would you do? If a sinner comes to you and says, listen, would you come to my house and witness to me and all my friends? And people are there, they're swearing. There's girls there. They're dressed in tight clothes and revealing clothes. There's guys there. You know they're up to no good. They're doing things. There's things that you see that are in the house that are maybe illegal and all of these things. But here is this person says, you know what? Come to my house and witness to me. How would you feel? Maybe some of us would be like, no, you better come church. But Jesus goes into these people's house and he sits there and he says, you know what? I'm going to minister to this man. And Jesus saw that this man, Matthew, even though everyone else would have seen him as the bad guy, Jesus says, this man is going to be one of my disciples. That means he's an eternal position he's going to have of just honor. This man, Matthew, who everybody would have looked at and said he's a tax collector, Jesus knew that this man is going to write my first gospel. Jesus saw the best even in the mess. In our text today, what we see is that Jesus sees this woman, and this woman comes to Jesus, and this woman is renowned for sin. She's maybe a prostitute, maybe she's doing other things, who knows? All of these things, you read commentaries, it says all this stuff, but here is this woman. And she comes to Jesus. Now imagine, listen, imagine you have you're around like your church people. You're around church people, and you know, church people, they got a certain way of acting. We all know this type of thing now. And so you're there, you have a fellowship. Before you eat, you're always like, don't forget to say grace. Sometimes people, they remind me. Sometimes, maybe I was just hungry. You know, so pastor, don't forget. Yeah, I knew. I'm the pastor, man. But if they didn't remind me, who knows? So here we are in this environment where we're minding our P's and Q's. And here is in a Pharisee's house. Would have been highly religious. Pharisees have memorized all of the first five books of the Bible. Memorized them in Hebrew. Here they're talking about deep things, the kingdom of God, the Messiah. And here is this nasty, dirty, low-down sinner woman broke through into this holy environment. Listen, this is not the time for this. Sinner woman, this is not the time for this. This is when we are talking deep theological truths here. We're dealing with some stuff here. But this woman comes in. They would have been looking like, oh my days. One time I remember we were doing outreach somewhere. We were doing outreach in Roehampton. And I went there and just the very early days of the church. And there was a young man that I'd witnessed to, and he was coming to the church. He lived in Roehampton. And I would go and visit him in Roehampton, and I remember going into the block with maybe a few guys, Owen and a few guys there, and the church was very small. I got my flyers there, and the guy was in the block, and he was in the bottom of the block, and he was there, and as soon as you stepped in the block, you smelt weed, like whoosh, not no light weed, by the way. I don't want to entice anybody here, but this was the real deal. You knew there was a lot going on there. There was a lot going on there, and those of you that, amen, praise God. And so you went in and said, when the smoke cleared, I heard, yeah, what's going on, pastor? And so this guy's a new convert. And so he was there with his friends. His friends looked like they were, and he says, this is my pastor, you know. This is my pastor. And I thought, this is a good advertisement for my ministry. See, sometimes when people come into the things that happen when you're around your church friends, maybe you're around your church friends and you see someone from your old life and they start saying something to you. And you're like, no, I'm with my church friends. You got to understand now. But Jesus, he don't, no, later. I'm with the boys now, man. No. She comes in, Jesus says nothing. She washes, she's crying, she's weeping, she's using her hair. We can see remorse, we can see repentance. She pours out this oil on his feet. The Bible says that the Pharisees see this woman, and you know what the Pharisees say? If he knew what kind of woman this is, they're like, the brother was like, what kind of prophet is this? Stevie Wonder could see that this is an unclean woman. What kind of prophet is this? Like, you couldn't even see that. What kind of prophet is this? Basically, what he's saying is, if Jesus knew her mess, if Jesus knew who she was, can I tell you, Jesus knew her mess, but Jesus saw the best in the mess. This gives us hope. This gives us all hope, because I want to tell you this. There comes a time in your life when people look at you and they can only see a mess. See, some of you are here, you've been saved maybe a while and you forgot. Or some of you here, you're not in touch with who you really are. But I want to tell you, there is a season in life where people will look at you and they will only see a mess. And the hope that I get from this is that even when they see a mess, Jesus can see the best in me. Jesus is able to see the best even in a mess. There was a woman that her husband died. She was an older woman. Husband dies, passed away. She's cleaning out all of her the belongings. Very sad. You know, you go back to the house and you know that person is not going to be with you anymore. So she's cleaning out all of this stuff. And so she sees all this electronic stuff in the garage, and she takes it down to the local dump, and she just throws it away. We got that other picture there. She throws away a 1976 Apple computer. She did not know what it was. She threw it away. It's worth £200,000. £200,000. The people that found it in the dump, they sold it. Some of you are thinking, I got an old iPhone. No. I got an iPhone 4. No, this is different. This is different. Look at someone said, this is different. This is different. Some of you, I got a Samsung. Yeah, don't care. That thing will never be. Could be a Samsung 9. That thing's still old. Listen. They actually saw this woman, this old woman, bring in this computer. They tried to find her. They couldn't find her. She could have half the money. But they actually couldn't find her. They said what happened was she was clearing out. Can I tell you, sometimes people just see a mess. Sometimes people just look at life, they look at things, and all they see is a mess. Can I tell you, anybody can see a mess. It doesn't take, you don't have to be skilled or study hard or be deep or be anything to see a mess. But you have to be someone who is fully trained as an architect many times to drive past a plot of land which looks derelict with its old tires and beds on it, but the architect looks at it and he says, you listen, if we cleared this, if we dig down, we could build this building. Because he's an architect, because anybody can see a mess, but it takes someone who's trained to see the best in it. As a designer, they go into a property and they refurbish the property. This house is derelict. We can't see nothing in it. But a designer can look and they can say, if we change that, if we knock this down, if we repair that. Many years ago, I remember speaking about this program, you know, Pimp My Ride. I mean, no, we don't know pimps in the house of God. We don't know PIMPs. We don't want that. We want G-O-D. We don't know PIMPs. We're not into that. But I always have to warn people before people get excited. I mentioned it. Pastor's into it. No, I'm not into it. But I remember researching it for an old sermon, and this guy had got this Louis Vuitton material, and he had got this old car, and they'd refurbished it, and they put Louis Vuitton material on the seat. I mean, it's not to my taste, but they got the Louis Vuitton and on the dashboard, and I was thinking about this, is that here is someone who is a restorer. This old car that's worthless, they've got this expensive, high-worth material, and they've covered something which others would say was worthless. Let me repeat that. Here, what they did was, they got this high actually worth this material, which is worth a lot, and they used it to cover something that people thought was worthless. Can I tell you that is what Jesus has done for us? Do you know that's what Jesus has done for you and I? That Jesus, whose blood is priceless, did you know his blood is precious? The Bible says in the book of Peter, his blood is precious, church. That precious blood was shed for you and I to cover you. But why is that? Is the reason is because even in your mess, God sees the best in you. God sees what you can really do. God sees the best in you, and this is why he paid such a high price. Some of you here, you might not even be saved right now, but God is still calling you. God is still bringing you to himself because he sees something in you. God sees the best in your mess. But the question I want to move to is, what do you see? Look at someone and say, what do you see? How many know the problem with life and the problem, most of us are Christian here, but how many know our problem is most of the time is we don't see what Jesus sees. That can sum up everything. We just don't see what Jesus sees. I want to speak about three things where people don't see what Jesus sees. I want to speak to the new convert. New convert, if you've been in this church, you've been saved for 8 months or less, sometimes a new convert can only see the mess. You could be here and you only see the mess. And what I mean by that is you only see the mess of your old life. There could be here girls or guys here and you only see the mess. You haven't seen the best of what God can do yet. You only see the mess. You see the mess of your old boyfriend. You keep going back to the old things because you only see the mess. You only see the mess of the old parties or the old raves, or I don't know where they go or how they do when they go there, but that's, you know what I'm talking about. They only see the mess of these things where you're going back to your old music and your old ways and you haven't yet understand. Listen, God wants you to see what he sees. You only see the mess of fornication. You keep going back after you've given your life to Christ, surrendered yourself to Christ, prayed at the altar, attending church, but you only see the mess. When it comes to having fun, you keep going back to what you think is fun, but it's a mess. It's going to mess you up. The Bible says with this woman in verse 49 of our chapter, and those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this that even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Jesus forgives this woman. I want to tell you, Jesus, we don't get this twisted. Jesus does see the best, but Jesus don't want the mess. Don't get this twisted that you heard, oh, Jesus sees the best in my mess. So you're just going to carry on in your mess. No, you got it twisted. Jesus sees the best, but he don't want the mess. He wants you to change the mess of what you're looking at on the internet, the mess of pornography, the mess of flirting. Let me speak to some young people here. Maybe you're in school or in college. The mess, you only see the mess. You're following what all of the other young people are doing. Can I tell you, you must say no to the mess so that you can say yes to God's best. This is why you won't never see it. You can sit up in the house of God from now until Jesus returns if you do not say no to some of the mess. You're just going to continue in it. You're like, this don't work. I've been in church this long. Because you got to see what Jesus sees. That's for the new convert. What about those that are carnal, the carnal crew? They only see the mess. They are distracted by the mess of this world. The Bible says in Romans 8 verse 5, look what it says here. It says, for those who live according to the flesh. For those who live according to the flesh. People that are fleshy, carnal, worldly, unlike Christ, set their minds on the things of the flesh. their minds are always after fleshy things. Their minds are on these things. So because their mind is on these things, their behavior is on these things. See, who are we speaking to? We're speaking to people that have been saved 5, 6, 7 years. We're talking about people that have been in the house of God. But the reality is when you start to speak to them about souls, discipleship, and kingdom, their mind cannot fix on those things because they only see mess. Have you ever tried to have a conversation with people and you want to talk about kingdom things? I mean, you know, sometimes we need to just talk about kingdom things. My soul is hungry sometimes for kingdom, for the things of God. The Bible says that we should encourage one another with what? With things of the scriptures. But sometimes you'll feel that people still have to keep reverting the conversation back to the natural, back to the carnal. You try to say, hey, listen, we could do this, you know. Why don't we do this type of thing? We could go here. We could do this. And no, it doesn't work. It'll never work. It can't work. But hey, I heard the other day, this guy around the court. Hold up. Why is it you're diverting back to the mess? Never do you hear them talk about discipleship. To some people, discipleship is like a nasty word. It means I can't do what I want to do. Because you only see mess. Your heart is gravitated to mess. I like it when it's quiet like this. I love it. Listen, I'm going to have a good night's sleep tonight. I love this. The kingdom of God. See, sometimes we only see the mess. Can I tell you, this world is in a mess. People, they know some people, you know every little thing that's going on in the world, and you know nothing what's going on in the kingdom. Know every little thing that's going on with popular people. People always telling me, hey, do you know what that is? I ain't never seen what that is. You know, recently, was it Katy Perry? I lately knew who this woman was. And you know what? I feel a bit convicted. I need to be a little bit more in touch with things. But I'll be honest with you, the kingdom of God pulls my heart. The word of God pulls my heart. These things are, yeah, let me just be interested in it so that I can relate to people. But it don't pull my heart. Some people, it's the other way around. It's like, no, those are the things that are really in my heart. But then, oh, I got to do this Bible thing because it's just this thing. When you speak to people and they're always going back, they're focused on the mess. How much time do people spend on their phones? And then complain that they're not growing. Then complain that, you know what, I'm not feeling it the way I used to feel it. Complaining, this is not working for me. The problem is that we only see mess. We're attracted and drawn to the mess. When you know more about the gossip on road than the gospel. We had a good time in our growth tools. We had an excellent time. We was getting down in the word of God. We was fine dining in his word. And we were talking about things and people were asking me certain questions. And I was saying to people in the group, I said, listen, some of these questions you're asking me, I knew within the first couple of years of salvation. These are not questions that are deep. These are things that someone should know if they've been saved a few years. They should know some of these things. And we've got to be very careful because what happens is that when we become carnal, we focus on the mess and we get distracted by mess. It's constantly distracting us and pulling us away. I'm not here to condemn anybody, but I want to say is that this is not God's way. That God wants us to have a focus on the things of Him. Let me lastly speak about the religious people. Religious people only see the mess in others. This is what we see in our text. Now, when the Pharisees who had invited him saw him, and he spoke to himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known what type of manner of woman this is who's touching these. She is a sinner. Could it be that we become religious where we only see the mess in people? This is when you only see people as problems. You only see people as problems. Hey, bro, you want to work with them? Oh, that's long. You see people as problems. You only see the mess now. When you're looking at people, just like how the Pharisees did, they look at this woman and all they see is a mess. Where Jesus saw something totally different, can we be like that? That all as we see is the weaknesses in people. How many know we a Christian's pastime shouldn't be discussing the problems and weaknesses of other Christians? Really, that's a nice way of saying gossip. That we shouldn't care about who fell and who didn't and who did. It's been dealt with. I understand if there's secret sin up in the house of God, we've got to deal with it. I mean, we've got to deal with it. We've got to get rid of it. We've got to challenge it. We've got to say to the person, listen, the devil's riding you. So we need to kick him off your back so that Jesus can put you back in his army. But I want to tell you today, it's not for you to tell others who are coming into the house of God, did you know what happened to so-and-so in 2009? Oh, yeah, and she, oh, yeah. And you see this, brother, we. Do we only see the mess of the new convert? Why is she dressed like that? See, we only see the mess. Why don't you have those people around your house? Oh, no way. Those people around my house. No. I got my crew, they come around my house. I don't bring those people around my house. Bring them around pastor's house. You wanna have a home group? Let's have a home group. No, people gonna mash up my yard. No, only my friends. Because you see, listen, you started to see the problems. All you see is problems now. All you see is a mess. When you look at people, you see problems. So people start to say, oh, you can't make friends in this church. What? How long have you been in this church you can't make friends? Because you only see a mess. This is how the Pharisees are. When they look at people, they only see the mess. And so let me recap this. The new convert, he only sees the mess of his old life. Keep going back to your old vomit. The carnal people, they're distracted from discipleship and kingdom and church planting. That doesn't really hold their mind. They go to conference, get stirred up for a second, and then back to the mess. Religious people, all they do is criticize and comment about, oh, this new convert, that new convert, and this problem and that problem, and the church is not here and the church is not there. You're religious. You only see the mess. I want to tell you, there are some people in this church that are messed up. There are some people coming in this church, they are messed up. They're telling me things, listen, they're messed up. Look at someone say, they're messed up. They're messed up. But I want to tell you, they're going to be our best. They're going to be our best. And if you don't believe it, you need to look at yourself. You forgot how you came in. You don't remember how nuts you was when you came in. You don't remember, sis, how you dressed when you came in here. Listen, we had to, all the brothers, when you came in, all the brothers had to go, how you doing, sis? How you doing? You okay? When you came in, we saw you, we were, oh, Robo Shanda, forgive me, Jesus. Hallelujah. And go on with our day. Now, it's like, well, why are they dressing like that? Who's this and who's, listen. Listen, let's not. There are people, they're messed up, but they're going to be the best. They're going to be the best converts. They are going to be the best disciples. They are going to be the best preachers. They are going to plant the best churches. Listen, they're going to have the best ministry because God sees the best even in their mess. God sees the best. God sees it in you. Listen, let me close with this. Is that, Pastor, how do I see the best? Listen, we do live in a world which is a mess. How many know this world is in a mess? You only have to look around you to see this world is in a mess. But you've got to look with the eyes of faith. You've got to have eyes of faith. Today we're gonna do an eye transplant. No anesthetic. you're going to leave here with new eyes. You're not going to leave here with new convert eyes. You're not going to leave here with carnal crew eyes. You're not going to leave here with religious eyes. You're going to leave here with eyes of faith. That when you look at things, you're going to see the best, even though there's a mess right now. See, how do I get eyes of faith? Well, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You've got to fill yourself with the word of God, and then you've got to talk words of hope. Every day, I want you to discipline yourself to talk words of hope. When you get up every day, talk words of hope. Talk words of hope over your marriage. Say, listen, this is tough right now, but you know what? Everybody goes through these ups and downs, and my marriage is going to be the best because I believe that God is going to use it and God is going to be glorified in it. You speak these words of hope. Right now, your kids may not be saved or giving you problems or troubles, and you've got to speak words of hope and say, listen, you know what? Many kids have gone through this madness, this darkness, this sinfulness, but you know what? I'm going to believe and I'm going to pray, and these kids are going to come back round, and I'm going to see them serving God, worshiping God, ministering to God in the house of God. You've got to speak these words of hope over your money, over your health, over your debt. You've got to speak these words over your ministry. See, all of you here have known me, and you know me as Pastor Courtney. And really and truly, I think everybody here, maybe there's a few people knew me before. 2007, I became the pastor here. I came here, and when I came here, since you've known me, when I came here, I had a good marriage. I came here, good marriage, married a beautiful wife. Don't worry, you see the best in their mess, don't worry. Because over here, they're like, what's going on over there? Married. I'd already bought my house, comfortable house, not mansion, little flat, but it's comfortable. Had a job that I enjoyed, a career that I enjoyed. Quality car I had already. And so that's when I became the pastor here. So ever since you've known me, that's how you've known me. You've seen me live this life. Where since 2007, some of you were here when I came here. Some of you got saved 2009 and 10, and some of you later on. And as long as you've known me, you've known that to be my condition. I have a good wife, beautiful wife, good home, okay car. That's how you've seen me. But I want to tell you, 2007 is that's how I came in. You've always known me like that. But if you go back 10 years to 1997, yeah, you know where I'm going with this. Because I had no house. I was sleeping on brothers' floors in the church. I had nowhere to live. I had no job. I literally had no money. You know when people say they ain't got no money, but they got like 50 quid? Have you ever seen that? You don't really know. You ain't really, yeah, you're on a different, I'm not saying you ain't got no money, but you know, I ain't got no money. You know like when women say, I got nothing to wear. And you're like, you ever looked in your wife's wardrobe? They say, I got nothing to wear. That don't make no sense to me, but that's another sermon. But people that I ain't got no, I'm talking about literally, I remember a day when I had 50 pence in my pocket and I had walked 4 miles. I walked long, man. Just hoofing it. And it was hot that day. And you know when it's a day where it tricks you? You know when it's cold in the morning and gets hot in the afternoon? Have you ever had those days? It was cold in the morning, you come out all wrapped up, and then by the afternoon, you're like, you look like an idiot. You've like got 50 layers on. That's how I was, walking, hoofing it. I got 50p in my pocket. That's why I'm not getting no bus, because I'm going to buy bread. Bread. That's what I'm going to eat. Bread. I've got no ministry. Obviously, I've got no car. At that point, listen, you didn't see me then. You didn't see me when everything looked a mess. You've only seen me since 2007. You weren't there in 1997. You haven't seen that Courtney. But I want to tell you, God saw. God saw that Courtney. God saw me in that mess. God saw me when everything looked desolate and everything looked hopeless and everything looked difficult and hard. My wife was not saved at the time. I dated somebody and it didn't work. Uh-oh. I'm seeing all my brothers date and get married. But I'm just here, single to mingle. No money, no house, no car, no job, no ministry, no none. But God saw. God saw in me at that moment. Listen, God saw, you won't always be there, Courtney. And everything may look like it's a mess. But God saw the best in the mess. God saw this. God saw this. And I want to tell you right now, there's going to come a time where I'm going to speak about this time. And this time, it seems like a good time. It seems like good, church is good, I'm here, I'm doing this. But God's going to speak about this time. I'm going to speak about this time. And say, I remember when I was here doing this. And what God is going to do is going to be far more than this. Today, you may see situations in your life that look like a mess. I want to tell you, don't give up. I want to tell you to believe God, have faith, speak hope, and see God's best come out of this mess. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.